Baruch Hashem, Mr. Hashem, this Thursday there'll be a special new shir on Parshas HaShavua. Every other Thursday, much, if not completely, due to the fact that Mr. Aaron Friedman decided this was something that was important, and he pushed for it, and he worked extremely hard for it. I can honestly say I had nothing to do with it. I got a phone call that we're having it, so we're having it. It was all really unbelievable amounts of Mesiras Nefesh and work that went into it on his behalf, and I'm sure others that I'm unaware of, that Mr. Hashem will be having the Chumash here. So the weeks where we have the Chumash here, we'll probably have, if not no Chumash, the Sunday morning share, definitely a lot less, because we'll have a lot of it the night before. But we'll still get this week's, we'll have a little bit of Parsha. But Mr. Hashem, next Sunday, you'll have to listen to it in the recordings, or come this Thursday night, Mr. Hashem, to hear what we're going to say on Parsha's Vayera. Parsha's Lech Lecha is the Parsha of Nisyonis. Is the first time we see, at least in the scripture, where the Jewish people or Am Yisrael gets used to dealing with the idea of a Nisayan. Most Rishonim believe that the first Nisayan that Avraham Avinu was tested with was the Nisayan of this of last week's parasha, Lech Lecha, pick up and move. There's another Nisayan, at least to us seems like a Nisayan, which is not even mentioned in the scripture, it's not even in the Torah. Such a big Nisayan, first of all, it doesn't count as one of the ten Nisayanis, and it doesn't even make it to the Torah. It's a little Rashi in last week's parasha, it's a Medrash. That not everyone even knows about. There's a little medrash. Most people think it's in the Torah. It's not in the Torah anyway. It's a medrash. The medrash says that while Avraham Avinu was 3 years old, when he was tempted, he had a choice: either you jump into the fire or give up your religion. Avraham Avinu jumped in. He lived. His brother jumped in and didn't live. That's a pretty big nisayon. Yet it's not even in the Torah. No mention. And secondly, he doesn't get credit for one of the ten tests. The first test, according to all the Rishonim, is this week's parsha: Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. So that's question number one. Question number two is, what's the big deal of this week's test? Can you imagine a person comes to you, Kosh Baruch Hu comes to you in a dream. He says, listen, if you move to Omaha, Nebraska, which now there's not so much Yiddishkeit in, but believe it or not, Reb Chaim Moshe Gruzinski had a cousin who was a dayan in Omaha. He was a sheikhet in the 1930s in America. So once Reb Chaim Moshe got a tshuva, funny story, Reb Chaim Moshe got a letter, someone asked him a shayla, and he saw the postcard said New York. So he wrote back to the fellow. He said, I don't understand. Why are you sending it all the way to Vilna? You should go to my cousin. He lives in Omaha, Nebraska. Now, I guess Reb Chaim Moshe didn't realize Omaha, Nebraska, and New York are not exactly neighboring towns. So if you're sending it in the mail, it doesn't matter who you're sending it to. But so Omaha, Nebraska wasn't exactly, you know, today it's not the where you want to live. But someone, Akash Baruch Hu comes to you and says, listen, if you move to Omaha, Nebraska, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have a lot of children, wealthy, a big yeshiva, very successful. Everyone's going to know who you are. You know, they'll give you the keynote address at the good convention. You'll be it. That's a big nisayon. I know a lot of people who have moved to a lot smaller places with a lot less guarantee. I know many people have moved to very far places with very little promise of anything, but maybe I'll get a job, maybe I'll do this, I'll be a third string this, and they do it. And this is the big nisayon, this is the big deal. Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to him in a dream and says, listen, I'm going to make you big, I'm going to give you a big family, successful, wealth, popularity. That's a big nisayon, all you got to do is leave. This is a big nisayon, this is bigger than jumping into a burning bush. It doesn't seem to make sense. So the Achrayim all deal with this kasha. The Biskirov says this pshat over. The Biskirov says it's because we don't understand what does it mean to move. Biskirov says he remembers when he was leaving Brisk to go because of the Nazis. He says even though he knows when he left Brisk, he was doing it l'toyeles, l'toyvasoy. If he stayed in Brisk, he would have been killed. So he left to go to save himself. He said, but the idea of picking up everything you're used to, what you're comfortable with, and what you're familiar with, is a hard deal. It's not easy. It's not easy. You live in a certain community for a long time, you get used to the stores and the shops and the people, and you know how everything works, and all of a sudden to move to middle of nowhere, it's not so easy. That's the Biskirov's answer. But Pinchas Scheinberg says it a little differently. He says, because we have a misunderstanding of what a test is. He explains what the Yisayin of an Assign is when Avraham Avinu said to himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I just don't get it. You want me to prove my loyalty to religion? No problem. That's not a test. Many religions have to prove their loyalty. They jump into crazy things to prove their loyalty. So Avraham Avinu had no problem jumping into the Kibshan Esh. He felt, that's my duty to prove my loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But now HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him and says, listen, I'm going to give you all the great things, but you got to move to the middle of nowhere. Then Avraham Avinu says to himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't get it. You can do everything. So why can't you just give it to me right here? Why do I have to uproot everything and give up everything? It just doesn't make sense. Says Reb Shlomi, that was the nisayon. Saying to yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your ways don't make any sense to me. You can do everything. So if you can do everything, why do you have to make it so complicated? Why do you have to give me all these good things if I move to the middle of nowhere? Let me have it here. So therefore he explains, it wasn't a big deal having to show your loyalty for religion. Many people do that. That's not a big deal. But when you ask yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why? Your ways don't seem to make sense. That was a big nisayon, which Avraham Avinu ultimately passed. What happens? We know Avraham Avinu leaves Eretz. He leaves Haran. He goes to Canaan. What happens in Canaan? His first visit in Eretz Israel, a hunger hits. So there's a very famous Ramban in last week's parsha. I'm sure everyone heard already about it. Famous Ramban. The Ramban writes that Chata Gedoyla Bishkoga. Avraham Avinu sinned. This was a mistake. Avraham Avinu should have stayed in Mitzrayim. Avraham Avinu should have stayed in Eretz Canaan. Hashem said, go to Eretz Canaan. You stay in Eretz Canaan. There's a hunger. I'll take care of you. I told you to come here. I told you to stay here. So Avraham Avinu, according to Ramban, made a mistake. He calls it a chet chot gedoyla, a big sin, bishkaga, accidentally. But it was a big deal. The Ramban holds this was wrong. Avraham Avinu had no right to leave Eretz Yisrael the moment he was told to go there. He had to have stayed there. What do you mean? What happened to Hishtadlos? What happened to normal life? Derech Hateva? Okay, so that's what the Mefarshim talk about. That some of them say that the Taina Avraham Avinu, he was on a different playing field, a different level. His Hishtadlos and our Hishtadlos is not the same thing. He should have had more Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to Ramban. He should have stayed put. I just think you could be mice of what we said in last week's parsha. Last week we said the godless of Noach was when Hashem said, go to the Teva. He didn't leave the Teva until he was told to leave the Teva. So here also, Avraham Avinu was told to go to Eretz Canaan. You stay there. Don't ask kashas. It's a hunger. I say this. That's not your job to ask kashas. Your job is to do what you're told. You're told to go to Eretz Canaan. You go to Eretz Canaan. There's a hunger. Okay. Hashem knows there's a hunger. Just like Noach, he was told to go into the Teva. And now the rain was over and it was safe to come out. He didn't leave the Teva. Why? Because that's not my job. I was told to go into the Teva. I stay in the Teva. So maybe after the story of Noach is more of a tie of the way the Ramban is learning it. Because this idea of what Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz described as anivas. You're not supposed to be the Baal HaBos. You do what you're told. You're told to go to Mitzrayim, you go to Mitzrayim. But this is the famous Ramban where he argues seemingly on Rashi, where he held that the going down to Mitzrayim was an incorrect thing.
Some hold that it was one of the tests.
Some say it was all the tests, and according to Rashi, he passed it. Yeah, that's a big machlokes. How to learn the Mishnah Novus to what exactly are the 10 Nisyanis. So Avraham Avinu is now presented with a dilemma once he goes down to Mitzrayim. What's he supposed to do with his wife? So what he does is he decides he's going to do the box trick, which doesn't work well in our history. Okay, he does the box trick, and he gets caught. But what was Avraham Avinu's chesed? Avraham Avinu said, if I'm going to tell you that we're married, what's going to happen? They're going to kill me and take you. So the Medrash asks, the Achareinim asks, I don't understand. What was the moral level of Mitzrayim? They're not going to live with a married woman, but death is okay. They have no problem killing people off. If there's a moral code in Mitzrayim, what was it? What exactly was their level of we're not doing that? So he says, Avraham Avinu's chesed was, we can't be married, because if we're married, they're going to kill me. Oh, but death, they're makbid eshishish, that they don't do. But death, no problem killing people. So the Medrash says, yeah. Medrash says, Enechrami. That was their moral code. They believed we don't live with married women, but we have no problem killing. That was just the society that they lived in. That was their mentality.
Nobody's an exorcist because you'd always kill the husband.
That's right. They made it from a cheshbon. Right? They made it from a cheshbon. So others answer a little bit more lum the shipshot. They figured, Mitzrayim figured to themselves like this. If we live with an exorcist, so every time we live with Sarah, we're living be'issa. Many Yisurim. But if we kill Avram once, so it's one Isser. No, it'll be one Isser. And then after that, it's all mutter. So the Mitzrayim made a cheshbon. They made a mathematical equation. Lam the Mitzrayim. They figured it makes more sense to kill Avram first than to have to worry about all the Averis later on. That's what the cheshbon that they made. The Kli Yakar asks, and it's a very fair question, how could Avram Avinu do Lifnei Iver to the Mitzrayim? What do you want from the Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim are innocent. You come down to town, you say that she's my sister. So why do you have Tainas later on? It's Mamish Lifnei Iver. How could Avram Avinu set up Parei in the Mitzrayim to sin like this?
Isn't it like the Sif Sei Chachamim says?
No, what?
That she's really an
Eishes. So the Sif Sei Chachamim answers, he said that she's married, and the husband let Medina Sayam. Right. That's the Sif Sei Chachamim's answer. The Kli Yakar says the different answer. The Kli Yakar says, no. The story went like this. Sarah said, we're married, you know, my brother, till she got to Parai. And right before Parai was about to do something, she said to Parai, listen, Parai, you're a level-headed guy. You're the king. Let me be honest with you. She's not my sister. We're not really brother and sister. We're really married. And Sarah thought at least Parai, the king, would have some form of level of understanding that this is something we don't do. And even that didn't work. That's what the Kli Yakar answers. The pasuk goes on and tells us that after this, there was a little bit of a family quarrel between Roye Light and Roye Avram. What was the machlokes over? So granted, it could be, we'll maybe talk about this more later. It might have been a lomdish machlokes also, the Roye Avram and the Roye Light. But the way Rashi describes it, that Rashi says, Lefisha Yurayev Shaloy Durishoyim. They were evil people. Umarim Behemtim Besadas Achayim. They were letting their animals eat all fields. The Roye Avram, Mechichim Aysim Al Gezla. Roye Avram said, you're not allowed to do this. They tied it back. What do you mean? We're balabas on the land. Avraham Avinu has no kids. Light's the next in line, so it's Light's land. They tied it back. We don't get the land yet. That's the shackle of the tie. Agav the precious Joachim, the Mishnah Melech on the Sefer on Chumash. He says this is a steerer to Rashi in Pashas Chayisara. Beginning with Pashas Chayisara, when it comes to getting the Marisa Machpelah, so Avraham Avinu says Ger V'Soishah. So Rashi says, what do you mean Ger V'Soishah? So Avraham Avinu says, listen, we could do this two ways. We can do this the easy way or the hard way. We can do this the ger way, that I'll pay full price and you'll treat me like a foreigner. Or if not, v'seishav, I'll take it outright because it's really mine. In fact, the parsha is racham, it's not yours. If it is yours, then what will you be my chiyach over there? So he has a whole lomish and mahalach involving kinyan peres, kinyan agufa, maybe we'll talk about it at a different time. But the problem that I always have with this Rashi is why are they roye, why are they rishoyim? They had a machlokes. We do this all the time. We have machlokes, everything is machlokes in Judaism. I tell my kids in school, the answer to every question on your test is machlokes. You gotta figure out who the machlokes is. Rishoyim, achroyim, paiskim, whatever it is. But everything is machlokes. So this is a machlokes. The roye light had their opinion, the roye ever had their opinion. Why are they rishoyim? Every single time you have a machlokes with another person, you become a Rasha. So I think the answer is because Avraham Avinu made a psak. This wasn't just a theoretical machlokes in the Beis Medrash. You know, they were tumbling over the Gemara. They went to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was the Paisik Hadar. Avraham Avinu said, no, it's not the way it works. If after you're told otherwise and you still think you're right, then you attack a Rasha. You have no right to do that. Or at least you can't act that way. You might think in your heart you're right, but you can't practically live that. If you go to a Rav and the Rav says, this meat is, you're not allowed to eat. You can't eat the meat. The Rav doesn't know. Okay. So then you probably should have went to a Rav you do respect. But once you go to a Rav you do respect, like Avraham Avinu, you got to abide by his psakim. You might want to think he's making a mistake, that's great in your heart, but you got to be noig the way he paskins. So now the Taka considered Rayim. Now the Taka considered the Rishayim, because they didn't follow the psak that was described. Yeah, it could be. But if, to the extent that you trust Avraham Avinu as the Gadol, which that was a question, who exactly was the Gadol Adar at that time? Was it really Avraham Avinu? It might have really been Shem. Stam Hashem was really the Gadol Adar. That's also relevant to the beginning of Pashas Chayisar. Blined will talk about who was the Gadol Adar, at least who was the person that everyone turned to at that time. Later on in the parasha, the grad just Negeil Halacha, the pasuk tells us that Avraham Avinu had his name changed. V'lo yikara oy shemucha Avram, and now he's called Avraham. So the Gemara in Brachas writes at the end of the first paragraph, Daf Yud Gimel, that there's a lavin and asay to refer to Avram as to call Avram that name. You have to call him Avraham. Yet if you look in all the Shulchan Aruch, you look in Rambam, no one brings it down lahalacha. So there's a long mug in Avram at the end of Simek Kuf Nun Vav. It's a very long, long, a whole bunch of pages where the mug Avram goes through all the things that are in the Gemara that are not brought down in any of the Rishayim. So over there, the mug Avram writes this halacha, that you're not allowed to call Avram, you have to call him Avraham. There's another one over there that's negated to many of you in this room. There's a Gemara Mefurish in Kedushin that says a father's mechuyev to pay for his kid's education. You have to teach your son a trade. Chayev lom de umnas. Yet you won't find it brought down anywhere in Rambam, anywhere in Shulchan Aruch. So I told my Talmidim, I said, you know, if your parents are going to start to pull the wool over you and say, let's show it to me in Shulchan Aruch. I don't have to pay for your college. It doesn't say anyone in Shulchan Aruch, I have to pay for your college. It doesn't say I have to teach you a trade. It's a Gemara. So your parents can say to you, well, you don't pass it from Gemara. So the answer is, it's a Magen Avram. And that long Magen Avram, when he goes to all the things that are left out, there he puts it in. He writes, Chayiv, a parent has to pay, or at least make sure his child learns a trade. However you want to do that, that's up to you. But the Magen Avram makes it over there. So the Mashah is bothered. The Mashah is bothered with a kasha, so why does no one bring it down? So Rabbi Shulab Diskin has Geshmak Echap. Rabbi Shulab Diskin says this whole halacha was not a gay bismanazeh. This was talking about Avram Avinu. If you called Avram Avinu to his face, you said, hey, Avram, that was the issue. But to call a kid who's named for Avram Avinu, Avram, that's not a problem. And there's a riot to this, because there's a Moira in Gittin Dafnun whose name was Avram Chuzoy, Aleph Vav Reish Mem. So everyone told him, how could his name be Avram? It must be a printing mistake, it must be a mistake. So they say, no, he was named Avram, who's probably named for Avram Avinu. That's probably where they got the name, it's a biblical name. But there's no prohibition, the prohibition is only Avraham. Minchas Yitzchak has a tshuva, we discussed this. I always say this in the Geir, because it's a very popular wedding hall in Williamsburg that people don't pronounce the name right. They call it, everyone calls Ateres Avram. Well, who's Ateres Avram? Who's Avram? That's Ateres Avraham. So you're telling me they didn't name them. It's not coming from Avraham Avinu. There was some big donor. There's some big donor who gave money, and his name was Avraham. Okay, but he probably got the name from Avraham Avinu. So the question is, if a person refers to the whole as a terrorist, Avraham, is he over this? Just tell me he's not. But the Minchas Yitzchak has a whole truth about this. He talks about, let's say you have a kid, you name Avraham, but you call him Avremo. That's not really Avraham. It's a slightly different. He has like answer tshuva halach lemaisa vitznayeh. The end of the parsha, and this is another famous Ramban. The Ramban really took Avram and Sarah to task this week's. He was tough to Ramban this week's parsha on Avram Avinu. Famous Ramban at the end of the parsha. At the end of the parsha, the Torah says that Avram Avinu and Sarah and Hagar had a little bit of a, we'll call it a dispute, and the pasuk says that that Sarah caused pain. She pained Sarah, and Sarah left. Says the Ramban on that pasuk, Sarah did wrong. She had no right to cause pain and anguish to Hagar's. Avram Avinu did wrong by allowing Sarah to cause that pain and anguish. And the punishment, writes the Ramban, is we suffer today under the hands of Bnei Yishmael. It's a short little Ramban at the end of the parasha. The Ramban says, we today suffer under the hands of Yishmael because of that pain and suffering that was caused by Avram and Sarah to hug her. The question is, what did she do to her? It says in the pasuk she caused pain. So Rashi sounds like she made her work harder. The Medrash says she might have even been abusive to her. It's hard to believe that Sarah would be so abusive. But nonetheless, the pasuk is very clear that she caused some form of a pain and writes to her man on that pasuk. That's why we suffer today under the hands of the Arabs, because of the pain that Sarah caused, and Avram Avinu allowed it. Avram Avinu never got involved. He didn't rebuke Sarah. He allowed her to behave that way, says the Ramban. It's a shmam, it's a short little Ramban. We suffer today under because of that. Then you have to mention the famous Biskarav at the end of the parasha. Biskarav has a kasha. If Avram Avinu kept Kol Torah Kulo, so why did he need a tzivah to do bris milah? He should have done bris milah on his own. He kept all the mitzvahs. So why did he need a specific tzivah to do bris milah? This is, you know, classic, you know, bris milah Torah. You hear it every bris you go to, you hear this kasha. That's the Biskarav's kasha. The Biskarav has a whole Amish Torah. You don't have a shame oral. You have to have a concept called being an oral. And then if you're not an oral, there's no chiyuv milah. I think there's a more simple answer, because maybe he wasn't mechuyav to put himself into danger to do mitzvahs. Yeah, you do mitzvahs that are safe, you know, no problem. Anything that's safe, you should do it. To put yourself into danger, maybe you're not mechuyav to put yourself into danger. No, that wasn't a mitzvah. What do you mean, what kind? Which part? No, so that was already, that was Yag V'Yava. That might have been a laver, not a mitzvah. That might have been Yag V'Yava. Yeah, that's a separate question. We're going to have to figure out, as we go through the Sefer Bereishis, we're going to talk about the Shail over and over, which mitzvahs did the others keep, which mitzvahs didn't they keep. They kept what they thought made sense, but didn't make sense. That's the whole Shail. They say, why did Avraham Avinu get Eitzah? He had to get Eitzah. So some people said he had to get Eitzah because this was a very dangerous thing. A man at his age to do a procedure like that is dangerous. So who said he had the right to do that? So maybe that's why Avraham Avinu needed a specific tzivah, Meitzah Kodesh Baruch Hu, and instead of doing it on his own. Okay, so we left off.
It sounds like there was a nice plug for anyone that doesn't know starting this.
Yeah, we did this before. Yeah. We did the plug before. Okay, we plugged it already before.
What time?
Okay. Yeah. Right. Might be a chavala. Might be not mutter to do it yourself without a tzivah, right? That's a good shot. Okay, so we left off last week. We were getting into a new sugya over here with a. The Mishnah in Gittin tells us over here that there's a concept of a gerushin without the normal way that we're used to learning it. We've been learning about gerushin in the beginning of the parak. We've been learning about gerushin either put the get in her hand, put the get in her backyard, put the get in her knapsack. Here the Mishnah in Gittin by us comes up with a new idea. The Mishnah says, Hoysa imedes b'shes rabim. She's standing in b'shes rabim. V'zar kula, and you throw the get to her, karav lo megureshes, karav lo in megureshes. If the get happens to be closer to her, she's divorced. It gets close to him, she's not divorced. If it's 50-50, the Gemara says, Safek gerushin. The Mishnah then goes on to include, not only is this true by a divorce, it's true by a kiddushin also. If the husband wants to marry a lady, and they're both standing in the middle of a rishis rabbim, he throws her a shavah pruta. So if the shavah pruta is closer to her, they're married. If the shavah pruta is closer to them, they're not married. So the Mishnah doesn't explain how exactly does this work. What type of magic trick is this kinyan called being closer to her? So the Gemara says, by us, and still with number one, hechi dami karv lo, vehechi dami karv lo, amarav arba amashalo zeu karv lo, arba amashalo zeu karv lo. So Rav doesn't give us a lumdis, but he gives us a definition. The definition of what means close is dalet amos. So if it gets within her dalet amos, she's divorced. It gets within his dalet amos, she's not divorced. The money's within her dalet amos, she's married. If not, they're not married.
And in between,
what do you mean by in between? So that we're going to see in the Gemara, hopefully next week. We'll talk about all these scenarios of how to set up the case. And we're going to talk about Blineder in the Gemara. So Rashi by Yosin, again, we're still left with Akasha. Very nice. That's the definition of Karvla, but we still don't know how this works. What type of kinyan is being within your Dalai Lamas? Where do we find such a concept? So Rashi by Yosin Gittin does us a favor and he tells you, She'ain beine lebein get Dalai Lamas, that there's no space between him and the get less than Dalai Lamas, damina mishnai maichzim, because the Gemara says, there's a kinyan called Dalai Lamas. So Pasha Pshat and Rashi's telling you that however Dalai Lamas works in Bava Metzia, that's how it works over here. We're applying the rule of Dalai Lamas of Bava Metzia to apply it over here. Although the Gemara doesn't say explicitly that the kinyan is Dalai Lamas, but that's what Rav means. When Rav says Dalai Lamas, Karav Law is Dalai Lamas, he means it's working through the kinyan of Dalai Lamas. Okay. So now, what is the kinyan of Dalai Lamas? How does that work? So the Gemara says in Bava Metzia number 3, Dalai Lamas is kinyan for a person b'chol makom, wherever he may be. My time is like the Gemara, Tiknu Rabbanan, it was the Kanas Chazal. It shouldn't lead to fights. So here the Gemara lays out very clearly two chidushim. Chidush number one is that it's a takana de Rabbanan, it's not a din de Raisa. There's no kinyan de Raisa called Dalai Lamas, it's only a kinyan de Rabbanan. And secondly, the Chazal gave us a reason. Why did they do this? Because they don't want people to fight. Fight over what? So pashtus, the fighting would be over a hefker. If there's a metziah that falls into the street, it's going to be like a loose football. Everyone's going to jump over it. It's going to be fights. So in order to bypass all this, we say, listen, it's in your Dalai Lamas, yours, his Dalai Lamas, his, nothing to fight about. So pashtus of the Gemara is if Chazal, or at least the Gemara gave us the reason for Chazal, you'd have to ask yourself, what happens when that reason doesn't fit? For example, mekach u'memkar, or even more so, get. By a get, there's nothing to fight about. If I put the get in her dalanamas, what's going to happen? Another girl's going to say, it's my divorce? It says her name on the get. I'm not even married to you. There's no asila and suye. There's no room for fight. So one would have thought, based on the simple reading of the Gemara Bamitzia, it doesn't apply to a get. Yet Rashi, by us in Gittin, said no. Well, you could fight about where the get was placed. She'll say, it wasn't in my dalanamas. And he'd say, well, it wasn't your dalanamas. That they could fight about. But the fight about who else is going to have rights to it, no one else can fight it. What's going to say? Another can buy a mitzia. Anyone can grab it. So then we're going to start piling up in the middle of the street fighting over it. So this way, if we say, no, listen, it was in your amas, it's yours. Now we could fight about whose dalanamas was it in. That we could still fight about. But once we said that the only one who's going to own it is if it's in their dalanamas, so then it takes away at least a lot of the fights. But by get, what's the fight going to be? The only fight that could be is that she'll say, hey, you never put it in my dalanamas. He'll say, yeah, what do you mean? I put it right next to you. You're standing in the middle of Central Avenue. I put it right next to you. So that still could lead for a dispute.
Which, five women sitting
there. They all think it was to them, right?
The guy's a mug, you know.
Right.
Let's see ya.
Right. Literally.
But why do we have to say butler Tom, butler Xer?
That's what we need to talk about. That, I think, is a massive machloikis mishayinim, which is very relevant to our sugya. Yeah.
How does it work? This simple. Where is this dalanamas? Is this Rishus Rabbah?
Yeah. That's a machloikis rishonim. We talked about that a few weeks ago.
So
either it's the day Rishus Rabbim, like Tosfos says in one place, or it's in the simta, or a little off the beaten path. Yeah, that's the kasha. Right? The kasha of the Gemara sounds not like that.
Right.
The other kasha is the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, where is she standing? Doesn't say, so that's a kasha. So we spoke about that a while ago. This was already before Yom Kippur, so I don't even remember what we said. But we mentioned it's a big machloikis rishonim. So some Rishonim say, first of all, it's a machlokes in the Gemara, whether or not Rishus Rabbim has King and Dalaramas. So if you hold it does, everything's beautiful. If you hold it doesn't, so you're going to have to start making all these akimtas over here that Rishus Rabbim is Lav Dafka. We'll see in a few minutes later today that there's another way out of it based on a Rajba, which we'll see hopefully in a few minutes. So the question is, if you go with the reason of the Gemara, does it apply to Gerushin? Does it apply to Mecha Chomemka? Is there a loy plug? And what's included in the loy plug? So there's this Rashi that we're going to repeat again, and hopefully today we'll actually say Epshan the Rashi. Rashi number four. Rashi Bar Mitzia says, what does it mean that Dalaramas is clean? And again, this is not an argument. This is Rashi Bar Mitzia describing Dalaramas above Mitzia. Says Rashi, in Yesh Sivi voice of Dover Hefker, if there is around your area something which is Hefker, in Acher Rashai L'Toyfse, no one else has the right to grab it. So this Rashi is somewhat troubling, because Rashi sounds like the whole idea of Dalaramas is not the pshat that I'm kain it because it's mine, but rather no one else can get it, and for some reason that's why it becomes mine. For example, if I had to explain why is Kinyan Chatzur kain it, if a Mitzia walks into my chatzur, it's mine, not because no one else can get it. It's mine because my chatzur is kaina and I'm kaina it. Here Rashi seems to be going the other way. It's mine because no one else can get it. So the question is, why is Rashi explaining it that way? Why didn't Rashi just say, what? The question is in Rashi, does Rashi really mean that now no one else can get it? So now we got past that. So now to make it yours, you need to do something. So that we'll see. It might be a machloikis achrayim how to learn Rashi. But what is interesting about this Rashi is the Rashi that we had in Gittin. Rashi in Gittin told us that Dalaramas and Argimara works the same way Dalaramas works in Bava Metzia. So if the Dalaramas of Bava Metzia works according to Rashi, then no one else can get it. So that must be the same way it works in Gittin. And that's going to present a list of problems. But that's just what comes out from the Gemara. There are those achrayim that are medayik from Rashi, that Rashi said, dover hefker. Why did Rashi say it's something of hefker? So the diyuk they want to make in Rashi, that Rashi holds a whole dalaramas, only works dover hefker. But let's say, mekuch memkar, if I want to sell something to you, and I want to drop it into your dalaramas, then it wouldn't work. The whole dalaramas only works by mitziv dover hefker. Why? Because that fits the asila and suye. That's when there's an issue of a fight. But we're not going to fight over, if I want to sell you something, and I put it in your dalaramas, what's going to happen? Another guy's going to come and grab it? You have no rights to it. I never gave it to you. I'm not selling it to you. So there's no reason to fight. So therefore, one would have thought there is no dalaramas, or loy plug. So they want to be daik from Rashi, that Rashi says dover hefker, that Rashi holds only a dover hefker. I'm not so sure what the diak is. The Gemara over there was talking about a Metzia. That's the Gemara about Metzia's discussion. I'm not so sure, and it can't be, because then it's a steer to Rashi Bayas. Rashi Bayas said, we're using dalaramas for get. If the whole dalaramas is only by hefker, how's it going to work by get? So that is a problem in Rashi.
Usually it's harder to get something from Hefker.
Yes, that's right. There's a Yerushalmi like that, the many Rishonim quote, when you have Dasa Cheres Machne. Yeah, we'll have to maybe talk about it. Yeah, we'll have to discuss that issue. We also talked last week about a Taisus and Bava Metzia. Taisus had a Kasha that if you hold that Dalaramas is Koina, then there's a Shver Gemara in Subas. The Gemara in Ksubas is talking about if a person steals on Shabbos. So the Gemara is trying to figure out, do you have Kimle B'di Rabbi Minei? Did everything happen at the same time? So the Gemara says it didn't, because when he's over the Isser Hoitzah, when he slaps it out of the house, he's not yet Chayif Gneva, because there was no Maisa Gneva. So Tosfos has a kasha, what are you talking about? He has Kinyan Dal Ramas. So when he slaps the Gneva outside the guy's house, now right away it's in his Dal Ramas. So at the same time, he's over Gneva, he's over Isser Shabbos. That's Tosfos' kasha. So Tosfos answers, and it's important for us to see it inside. The Yishlemis is Tosfos, the last three lines of Tosfos. The Gneva loy tiknu rabbonu de tikni. They were never misakin Dal Ramas by Gneva, ela be mitzia. They were only misakin it by a mitzia, the loy leis and then suyit. Now if we were to stop right here, so we learn Tosfos, the Tosfos is saying, no, there's rules. This is not a loy pluk. We made this idea only when it fits the narrative. And the narrative is fights and get doesn't, and Gneva doesn't have fights. But then you have a kasha. One second. If that's true, what type of fights do you have by Ganef? Why by Gneva do you have it? Evetoises ubeget mishumiguna. And we did it also by get, although get doesn't really fit the reasons, it doesn't fit the technical reasons, but we did it anyways. Why? We did it because we had our own reason called iguna. Because of a svara of iguna, Chazal included it, although it shouldn't really be included. So Pashtus Tosfos seems to be saying that really Mekach u'Memkar would not be included. Mekach u'Memkar doesn't have Asil and Suyit. And really Get shouldn't be included because it doesn't have Asil and Suyit. Yet Get found its way in because of iguna. Which means Lefi Zed, there was really two separate takanas. They were Mesakin Dal Ramas Kainis whenever Asil and Suyit. That's it. And they made a new takana. We Mesakin Dal Ramas by Get Mishom iguna. Now, what's a little interesting is if they felt iguna was such a pressing matter, so why don't they just be misakin at first? Why don't they just make up one day and say, listen, Rabbi, say, Eslas Hashem, we got to make things happen for these girls, so we're going to make up that if you just clap your hands twice and go like that, she's divorced. Why do they have to first wait to see that they did it by Dal Ramas, by Asad and Suya, then we can piggyback off of that? So the simple answer is that Chazal didn't want to do that. They didn't want to start making things up, Yesh Me'ayin. They wanted to first see a pre-existing concept found, and which they did. We found a pre-existing concept in Chazal for Dal Ramas, although it's limited. We then said, let's extend it and expand on it because of a specific reason of Iguna. Even though it doesn't fit the original Takana, it has its own Takana. But they would have never made its own Takana. They would have never woke up one day and said, you know what? Dal Ramas, Shaladim, Kainis, Lai, Bishum, Get, by Iguna, and nowhere else. That they wouldn't have done. Sarichin, why not? But that's clear they wouldn't have done. They only did it after the fact that they saw a pre-existing concept somewhere else, then they were willing to do it by iguna also.
So the way they come up with it by
That was the Gemara.
Why not?
Okay, right. And Echram, we'll see. If we get to the Gemara later, we'll see maybe even Kufamus. And Echram, we'll have to see. Right, we're going to get to that. That's a famous Balamo we need to talk about. What? What's the problem with the Mishnah? Oh, okay. So the Gemara really asks this kashya on Midbeis, what do you do with Kedushin? So the Gemara says, Makesh Vayalitzir, a good old fashioned Hekesh.
And
Choiv. And Choiv is another kashya the Gemara's going to talk about also. Yeah, we're going to have to get to all these things. The Gemara, believe it or not, we'll hopefully get there soon. Soon, we'll get there. We'll talk about all these in Yonim. So what does B'chol Makim mean? B'chol Makim mean any type of Kenyan or any place where you're standing? We thought, it's not clear what B'chol Makim means. There's maybe another way to learn Tosfos, but the simple way of reading Tosfos is like this, and that's the way we mentioned last week from Gedaliah Finkel, that's the way you understood Tosfos. Which means, take away from Tosfos would be that Tosfos would hold buying and selling does not work in Dal Ramas. Because Dal Ramas is not a light plug, Dal Ramas is only because of Asel and Sui, and by Get Mishom Egun. That would be the way of learning Tosfos. You could have learned Tosfos, that's a little out there, you could have learned Tosfos not like that. You could have learned Tosfos that really Gneva is not the pshat. Really, there's a loy plug. The loy plug includes all buying and all selling, all transactions. But the loy plug does not include stealing, and it doesn't include divorces. Why? Because that's a whole different sugya. It's not chesh mishpat. That's not buying and selling. That's a whole different transaction completely. Therefore, you could learn Tosfos like this. That really the loy plug includes megachu memkar. Gneva loy tikna rabbana, not because it's iser, but because it's not comparable to the loy plug. Then Tosfos had a kasha, what do you do by get? Get's also not compared. And that's the Tosfos, you're right, get is not compared, but nonetheless it has iguna. Which would then mean, lefi zeh, Tosfos holds, mekachu memkar is included in the loy plug. It's just these two are not included, and that's why you have a shtickle toy. That's another mahalach of possibly how to learn Tosfos.
The tradition doesn't have exceptions.
Yeah, I agree. We'll see, you might have to say it's another Rishonim. That's the reason why I say in Tosfos, because we're going to have to say another Rishonim.
So in that case, why
do you have Mashiach? You don't need Mashiach. That's a kasha. Many achronim have this kasha. They ask, so if that's true, so why do you need Mashiach? Yeah, that's a good kasha. A lot of people ask this kasha. Thank you. Many people ask this kasha, that why do you need Mashiach if you have Dal Ramas? Yeah, Rishonim, Achronim, but all ask this kasha. Yeah, it's a good kasha. There's another mahalach in the sugya based on the Shita Mekubetzes. If you look at the Shita Mekubetzes, at number 6, He asks Tosfos' kasha, but at the last line he gives a different answer. He writes, "V'tirtzu de b'gneiva de ovid esura." By gneiva, where he did an iser, the kuliyama lo tikna le'arba amos. Then everyone agrees he doesn't have dalar amos. So here the mitzvah seems to be going a whole different route. Here we seem to be suggesting, not like Tosfos, that gneiva doesn't fit the narrative. No, no, it's more than that. It's gneiva bedavka we pull dalar amos, because since you did something be'iser, we're not going to be misaking dalar amos to help people do this. That doesn't make sense. So therefore says the mitzvah, the reason why there's no dalar amos by gneiva is because something significant, unique about gneiva to be'ovid isu. Now, that's probably not the way Tosfos learned. Tosfos doesn't say a word about Isser. If Tosfos meant like this, Ritva, he should have left, not just the Bignevo Leitiknu. He should have said the most important words, the Avid Isura, like the Ritva wrote. Tosfos left it out, so seemingly Tosfos is not like that. The problem with this Ritva is, Rabbi Gedalia Finkel asked that last week, we mentioned from him, is that what do you do by Meshicha? There is a Gemara in many places in Shas that say that Meshicha, although it's only Rabbinic Kinyan, does work on Gneva. So if this Ritva is right, that whenever it comes to Gnevas, Chazal don't like to apply their rules for things of Gneva, so why did they apply Kinyan Meshicha by Gneva? That's the way of Gedalia Finkel asked the Kasha. Rav Moshe Feinstein in Igris Moshe Chelik tests in Chesha Mishpat, someone asked Rav Moshe a different Shaila. Someone asked Rav Moshe, what about Kinyan Agav? Kinyan Agav is a Kinyan de Rabbanon. Pashtus, right? We learned that. The Kinyan Agav is a Kinyan de Rabbanon. It's definitely not anywhere in the Torah. It's all in the Nevi'im. It's all Psukim in the Nevi'im. So someone asked Rav Moshe, I don't understand. If Kinyan Agav, there's a Gemara in Baba Kama that says Kinyan Agav works by Gneva. We actually told about this Gemara once before when we talked about Kinyan Agav. So he asked Rav Moshe, he says, I don't understand. If you go like this Ritva, that whenever there's a Surim, Chazal stepped back, so how does Kinyan Agav work? So when he asked the Shaila to Rav Moshe, he asked it as a Kasha on Tesis and Bab Metzir. So Rav Moshe said, what are you asking me, a Kasha on Tesis and Bab Metzir? It's not a Kasha on Tesis and Bab Metzir. Tesis and Bab Metzir is not learning because it's Itzer. Tesis is learning because it doesn't fit Lasu and Suya. But Rav Moshe said, but this Shidu Kabetzis presents a problem. So that was the Kasha presented to Rav Moshe. So I was thinking, maybe, I don't think it's a Geshmaka Teret, but maybe there's a difference between Meshicha, Dalar Amos, and Kinyan Agav. Meshicha and Dalar Amos, there was a specific reason given why they were a Kainer. They weren't just that Chazal were going through the Nevi'im and found the Kinyan in the Nevi'im. There was a need, and there was a reason, and it fit a certain tam, and that's why they made Dalar Amos. They made Dalar Amos because of Asal and Tzuyi, and they made Meshicha because of the Gzeira of Shem Yisufu Nechitich Ba'aliyah. That's not Stam Chazal going through the Psukim and Nevi'im and finding a Kinyan. That's because they saw a reason and they applied it. So then I can hear one arguing and saying, well, if it doesn't exactly perfectly fit, or if it's Issa, Chazal stepped back. Kinyan Agav wasn't like that. Kinyan Agav was there's Psukim in the Nevi'im that are mashma, there's such a thing called Kinyan Agav. So maybe then you don't have the right to say when, what, how. It's a Kinyan. Maybe Taka depends on the type of Kinyan de Rabbanon you have. Like a Kinyan de Rabbanon with a reason versus a Kinyan de Rabbanon which is derivative from a Pasuk in Navi. If Moshe doesn't make such a chiluk, so I'm assuming he doesn't hold the my pshat, but I was just thinking maybe you could say such a pshat. So Moshe, how do you answer the kasha? It's a shtaka kasha. If you go like the Ritva by us, why is it that Kinyan Dalar Amos doesn't work by a Gneva, but Kinyan Agav works by a Gneva? They're both the Rabbanon. So there's a shach over here, number 7. It's called Moedik. The shach died at the age of 41. How much he did by the time he was 41. It's unbelievable how much he wrote by the time he was 41. He writes in his Akdama that before he wrote anything, he went over it to Rabban, with 100 Rabbanim, he went over it to make sure he had it by the Kuminus. 41, he was actually a youngster by the time he finished this whole Sefer. Rav Shechter said, unbelievable you said, I never knew this. He said, there's a new print of Shach. He says, for years there was a comment in the Shach of Chesh Mishma, no one understood what he was talking about. It didn't make any sense. No one understood. So years later, someone was renting an apartment in Manhattan. And the guy told him, he's buying an apartment. He said, listen, there's an old box of Jewish things in there. If you want it, it's yours, it's not thrown in the garbage. He found manuscripts from the Shach. The Shach died in the late 1600s. They found manuscripts of the Shach, and they used that to apply it to the new Shach, and now they fixed the mistake. It was a mistake. They put too many lines, you know, the lines weren't divided properly, so no one understood what the Shach was talking about. There's a whole line of Chesh Mishpat for 300 years. Who won that? No one knew what the Shach was talking about. They found it in Manhattan, of all places in the world. The Shach didn't live anywhere near Manhattan. They found somehow his manuscripts came all the way across the world to Manhattan. Some guy in an apartment found it, and they were able to fix it. Now we have the Shach that we have today. The godless of the Shach. The way the legend goes, and many people say it's a legend, but Salvajic said he had a Messiah in the family about it, that the reason why we never pass like the Taz versus the Shach is because the Shach was much, much younger than the Taz. The Taz was way older than the Shach. And at that time, the Taz was the Gadol Hador, and the Shach came out with his Sefer. And at that time, the Rabbanim needed to give you permission to print your Svarim. They were in control of everything. So you had to get permission to print the Svarim. So the Shach went to the Taz to ask Rishus to print the Sefer. So the Taz went to the Shach. He said, absolutely not. The Sefer is too good. I'm not going to let you. I'm not giving, not allowing you to print this. It makes my Sefer look like a joke. Your Sefer is amazing. You have all these Marim Mekayimus. He had tons of Marim Mekayimus from no one else had. He had access that no one else had access to. He had the Italian Svarim. He had all these wild things that no one else. The Taz said, absolutely not. This is going to make me look bad. So the way your Salvechik said over B'Shem, his father said over B'Shem, up to the time from the Vilna Gaon, he said over this Maisa. That for this reason, the Taz was punished, and we never paskin like Taz. In Arachayim, we don't paskin like him. The Magen Avraham wins. Other places, Shach versus Taz, Shach wins. He says, and in Choshe Mishpat, he's not even on the side of the page. He's on the bottom of the page. I was all the way on the bottom of the page. That's the way the story goes. Okay, take it or leave it. Some people say it's a legend, but Salvation said it, and he held that that's the Messiah in the family. That the reason why the Shach always wins and the Taz always loses, or at least why the Taz always loses, was because the Taz didn't allow this printing. But that was clear. The Shach and the Taz were many years apart age-wise. The Shach was much, much younger and the Taz was much older, but the Shach did all this under the age of 41. He died at 41, so that's a pretty impressive life. But nonetheless, so the Shach over in Choshe Mishpat has a chap. He wants to learn a different mahalach. He wants to suggest that maybe he doesn't use this to answer our kash, but we can use the shach to answer the kash. Our kash is, why does Kinyan Dal Amos not work by Gneva, but other Kinyan de Rabbanon work by Gneva? If you're going to be honest, like the Ritva says, and says, well, when you do a surum, we pull everything, so you got to pull it all the time. Agav is a Kinyan de Rabbanon, Mashiach is a Kinyan de Rabbanon, you got to be consistent. Why only Dal Amos? So the shach writes like this. He says, Afilu mandom de tiktu Dal Amos b'matonim ikomak b'Gneva, the lo yotza midas bailim, lo shaykh klal loyim the tikkun dal rama shalachem lo hitzim mishas bailim. Says the shach, the whole concept of dal ramas doesn't make sense by gneiv. Why? So now he's giving us a lomnis into dal ramas. What's the lomnis? Because by gneiv the lo yotza midas bailim. By gneiv, I don't really consent for you to take my thing. You do it anyways. So you take it out of my possession without my agreeing for it to go out of my possession. Then says the Shach, Lo Shach Klal Loim the Tikdu Dal Ramas Alchem. You can't say, well, your Dal Ramas will take it out of my Rishus. The Kol Hecha the Isa Rishus the Mari Isa. Because my object is still my object. Ubaylim Loim Misalki Nefshayu Mine. And the owners never consented for removing it out of their possession. Ubame Yotzim Rishus Baylim. And how does it ever get out of the Ghana? How does it get out of his Rishus? Kay Nirli Boru. So Shach is not Masber too much, but the Shach seems to be telling us that fundamentally Dal Ramas is different. It's not because Dal Ramas you did an Isser. Because the Dal Ramas, the way it was structured and the way it was made, doesn't work by Gneva. What it sounds like from the Shach is that the way Dal Ramas works is it's Achnosel Rishusi. It's coming into my Rishus. But if the object coming into my Rishus is still attached to your Rishus, it's coming into my Rishus is meaningless. Other things with the it's a Maisa Kinyan, so I can do a Maisa Kinyan. But if the whole Kinyan over here is leaving your Rishus and coming into my Rishus, but if it's still attached to you, you know, you're holding on to the other side of the object while it walks into my Rishus, you can't say that's Achnos al Rishus. That seems to be the simple reading.
Never leaves the
okay,
body.
Okay, good. That's why the Shach needs a little bit more explanation. So in this tshuva from Rav Moshe mentions the Shach. So Rav Moshe writes like this. I think Rav Moshe, this is Chelek Tes, Chosh Mishmet Simachalfe. Rav Moshe writes, V'hanochlin is Daiti. He's coming to answer the kasha about how do you have Gneva kinyanaga by Gneva. So Ramesh says like this: the hine yeshchilu god will be called kinyan le kinyan the ganav gazan. So Ramesh, you have to know there's a fundamental difference between buying things in the store and buying things to become a ganav. The bechol kinyan have ikir meisa hakoyne lachnisa lushusoy velasi shalay. Normally, when I buy something, my idea is to make it mine. I go to the store, I buy something, I make it mine, I bring it to my shus, and now it becomes mine. The hafkaz zuchus v'rushus hamak the nasis memela, and it happens automatically. You relinquish your ownership to me; I become the owner. By you allowing me to be moshech your thing, you're removing your bailus, opening up that void of bailus, which I then put onto the object. That's the way it works. You take off your bailus, I put on my bailus. That's the way a basic transaction works, says Rav Moshe. So he says, but by Gneva, it's not like that, really. Because by Gneva, there was never a person giving up his first. When I go to the store and I sell something to you, so then I relinquish my bailus, and you put in your bailus. But by Gneva, I never gave up my bailus. I'm screaming. I have the police looking for my object. There was never a relinquish of bailus on my part. There was only you taking it on your part. So then Rav Moshe says, Ube'emes before Shdeh B'Shach, he quotes the Shach that we mentioned, B'tam shalei tiktu da'al amas b'Gneva, af shalei tiktu matono, ach shalei bir kol ha'tzoich b'tam ha'chiluk. So Rav Moshe said the Shach doesn't fully answer the kasha. Shedayin yiksha, do'hagam matono tzorich shi'yetz mishas ha'bailim. If it's all about changing ownerships, leaving him to come to me, how does it work by a gift? Vim kem b'may yotze b'da'al amas mishas ha'bailim, kim in the rishus ha'demor asi, it's still in the original owner's possession. Says Rav Moshe, l'chein tzorich lo'im ha'kidibi arti, shebechol kinyin nifka rishas ha'bailim m'mela. Anytime you make a kinyan, your kinyan automatically takes off his. Possession nikna la hakoyin, but the fact that it becomes yours, that takes off his. She ikur maisa hakoyin hu lasis l'shaloi. That's what it means to make a kinyan, is to make something mine, and therefore not yours anymore. By you giving it to me, you give me that power, you enable me to be able to make it mine. Even though Dal Ramis works like a chatzur, I can get whatever I want. Since you give me permission to make it mine, now I can make it mine. But by Gneva, where you never gave me the permission to make it mine, how does it become mine? Because it's in my possession. Being in my possession is only a seba for it to be mine if you consented for it to be in my possession. Mashik, if you don't consent for it to be in my possession, it doesn't work. This makes a lot of sense.
Except it shouldn't work like Hefker. There's nobody putting into your
shus,
according to
the Pshat. Right, so that's where Moshe's trying to bavorn. He's trying to say, but sometimes it's be'etzem off. Meaning something. Sometimes it's automatically off. You don't need to fight anyone. Meaning by hefker, that's right, that's right. That's correct. Now, the problem that I have with all this Torah is this so geshmak, but it's not true. We looked at the beginning of the perek that one of the ways you can steal something is with a chatzah. I don't understand. According to all this Torah, how can you come at Ganav through chatzah? The Gemara said, by the beginning of the parak, we learned this, I don't know, 5 years ago, in the beginning of the first parak, 3 blot ago, we learned it so long ago, it says over there that one of the ways to be kainig neva is to gneva, one of the ways to be kainig neva is to chatzer. It's learned from a pasuk. Ainli yodo, I only know your hand, gaga chatzevi kafifa minayin tamalayma, no, the Gemara brings a pasuk. Right? The Gemara brings a drasha. So let's say, for example, I would never pick it up, I would kick it the whole time, and I kick it into my chatzer. Or whatever, it's somehow it's stolen, and I guard it into my chatzah. According to all this Torah, how does that work?
That's
I would have thought.
You can't ask questions on this.
Well, what? Oh, so the simple answer you're going to have to say is that's a din d'oraisa. All the kashas you want, but the rabbanon can't do that. Right. But what you could also answer, l'chayra, you can answer also to this kasha, is the ktsais. The ktsais said, the ktsais was bothered. How do you ever make kinyoni gneva by chatzah? You need a maisa gneva. So the ktsais said you have to close the door of the chatzah. If the way Dal Ramos works is like Chotzer, there's no door on a Dal Ramos. So where's your Maisa Gneva? Maybe the reason why you can't have Kinyoni Gneva by Dal Ramos is because you need a Maisa Gneva by Dal Ramos. Where's the Maisa Gneva? I'm standing in the middle of Shus Rab and the Gneva strolls into my possession. But where's my Maisa Gneva? Yes, I guess at some point I'm going to make a Maisa on it after that. But the reason why there's no Dal Ramos is because where's your Maisa Gneva? Where do you show your want to become a Ganif? So the Ktsais Rashi learned, the Ktsais was like from a Rashi by Chotzer, you have to close the door. That's your Maisa Gneva. Where's your Maisa Gneva when you're standing in an open area? So maybe that's the reason why there's no Gneva by Dal Ramos, if it's working like a Chotzer, because there's no Maisa Gneva, and every Gneva needs a Maisa Gneva. So that might be the answer to this Kasha, to why Dal Ramos stands by itself.
There's no Maisa either.
Agav, there's no... Well, you'd have to make a mice on one of the things.
Not on the thing.
It depends on the case, right. So there's a rush in Bab Metzia, number 9. That seems also shver. The rush writes like this. Ubechol dover koinil ba Dal Ramos. Dal Ramos works for everything. Metzia, Matona, Mekach, Umemkar. So if we stop right here, so the rush would be saying, that's a light plug. Although Mekach, Umemkar doesn't fit the narrative, it doesn't matter. It's a light plug. Chazal made a takona, it goes across the board. Then the rush goes further. Ubi Kedushin begins. Like Gittin Kedushin also has a Dal Ramos. That's our Mishnah. So somehow Gittin Kedushin is also included in the Leplo. Okay, fine. Then the rush goes further. He says, V'hach Yisi B'shami di Gittin. Then he says, 1 second, I got a problem. V'hach Deparach V'perkei L'nairis. Gabi Agenev Kis B'shabes V'yim Megar V'yotza. The Gemara in Ksubis, which Taisis asked from, that you see that you have Dal Ramos by Gneva. So why doesn't it work by Gneva? So the rush says, Afilu Mandomid Dal Ramos Kainz B'shis Rab. Lo Ganev Lo Tikna Rabbanon. It doesn't work by a ganav. So although everything is in the light plug, ganav is not in the light plug. But here's where things get interesting. Says the Rosh, ubeget tiknu mishum iguna, and by get it works because of iguna. Why does the Rosh need that? The Rosh just told us in the first line that get works because of light plug. Everything is in the light plug. Then we work backwards. And we say, well, ganav is not in the light plug. Why would get, I mean, why is get any less than something like mekach umemka? Why does get need a special reason why Mekach Memka was in the light plug, and yet we're saying that get wouldn't have been in the light plug? How do we understand it? Very troubling how to understand the rush. So I found over here a sefer, over here on the number 10, I don't know exactly who he is, I was trying to read some of his haskamas, you know, all haskamas sound the same, he's a good guy, he's a nice guy, he wrote a nice sefer, buy a sefer, okay, so I'll buy a sefer. So what does he say over here? I think the name is sefer. No. Someone else, a younger guy, someone in Kael, someone in Israel. Okay, so he wrote a stickle tailor. He wants to learn the rush to follow. He wants to tell a big chiddush in the rush. He wants to say that Enoch and Ami, the rush holds of loy plug, but what's included in the loy plug? He wants to suggest that the rush thought that including the loy plug is mekach memkar, nothing more, nothing less, buying and selling. That's business transactions similar to mitzvah hefker. But something like Gittin Vekedushin, that's not included in the light plug. That's in its own world. That's not that type of a transaction. So he thought that the Pshat in the Rosh is that the Rosh says light plug for Mekach HaMemka. Yeah, that light plug includes Mekach HaMemka. But then the Rosh came to Gneva. He said to himself, well, no, that's not included. Oh, if Gneva is not included, well, maybe Getz also not included in the light plug. Of them's up to Rosh, you're right. Gneva is because of Iguna. I don't know. First of all, it doesn't sound like that in the beginning of the line of the Rosh. The Rosh lumps them all together. And secondly, I don't know how this works in the world of light plug to start making such a light plug between this and that. I don't know why you'd make such a cheshbon. Right. He has this whole shtickle Torah over here where he thinks that's how you have to learn the Rosh. I was thinking maybe you could learn the Rosh slightly different. Maybe you could learn the Rosh that really the Rosh's last line is not for regular. Meaning there's a big machoikis Rishayim, does Dalai Lama's work Rishis Rab? So some Rishayim say even though Get doesn't work in a regular Rishis Rabim, but forget it works because of Iguna. So maybe the last three words of the Rosh are not talking about a regular case. A regular case is the Loi Pluk. The Get Mishum Iguna is to explain how it can even work in Rishis Rabim. Maybe, the Shtekol Doichik in the flow of the Rosh, but maybe that's what the Rosh means. That the last three words of the Rosh are not coming to explain how it works in a regular. Regular case is a Loi Pluk. I don't need to explain that. The way it works, specifically, if it's in a Teich Rishis Rabim, which normally doesn't work, that's especially Iguna.
Is it Takana higher level than a Loi Pluk?
Right, so we're going to see that in a second in Rashba like that. They definitely did such a thing. That's the only reason why I'm suggesting it in the Rosh.
Doesn't the Rosh line up nicely with Rabbeinu Tam with Tosfos?
Yeah, he's beautiful with Tosfos. Yeah, exactly like Tosfos. Except the fact that he adds Mekach HaMemka and Tosfos didn't. That's where you can argue him and Tosfos. If you look at the Rashba number 11, you also find this type of issue. The Moshe, the Rashba number 11 is in Bam Metzia. In Bam Metzia, the Rashba is dealing with the idea of when and to what do we include Dalai Lama for. So the Rashba writes like this. It's not b'chomokim, says the Rashba. Although the Gemara says b'chomokim, I'm letting you know it's not true. At least some Rishayim hold it's not everywhere. It's only by things that are ownerless, that have no other transfer of ownership. Because about the reason of fighting. But if there's another party that's giving up, there's no reason for fight, there's no reason for the takana. V'cheinir nami kan medivrei Rashi. He thinks that's the opinion of Rashi. Why Rashi? Because Rashi, by Yassim Bava Metzia, said the words Hefka. So this is where the Rashba thinks Rashi means only Hefka. Then he argues, he says, L'chayve ein anira. The kibbe she tiknu loy lechat soin tiknu. You can't have a takana half the way. He's basically referring to loy plug. For Adar Rabba, now here the Rashba adds a knetch. Kol she yikne b'deleka das acheres makne. Kol she kin she yesh liknes b'deleka das acheres makne. Now he turns along the Shabbat. He says, Faket. We know that whenever there's das acheres, things are always easier. Whenever there's another party transferring ownership, it always makes things easier. So if you're telling me it works by Hefka, where there's no second party, and you're doing it all by yourself, it still works. Kol she kin, it should work where there's another party helping out. Okay, this needs more discussion, but I want the last line of the Rashba. Will the guy be get? Omru perikazayik the migureshes. Said the Rashba, I'll prove to you that everything's included, because get's included. Get doesn't fit the narrative of Asil and Sui. Elamai must be one long loy plug. Now, I don't understand what's the raya from get. Maybe get misha meguna. What's the raya from the... How did the Rashba know this? The Rashba's being a halacha lemaisa to include everything and anything, because get works. What's the raya? Maybe get works because get has a misha meguna. Elamai, you see from the Rashba, thought that's not enough of a svara. That's not a compelling reason. Either it fits or it doesn't fit. So the Rashba says, if get made the cut, it means everything makes the cut, because everything's included in the light plug. Okay, that's fine. The only problem is, there's another Rashba. Rashba Ba'al Sengit, number 12. The Rashba Ba'al Sengit is bothered with the kasha of the Rishayim. The Rishayim had a kasha that even if Dalai Lama works, it doesn't work with Rishas Rabbim. So how does it work in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says, Hoysa Medes Rishas Rabbim. She's standing in Rishas Rabbim. How does it work for our Mishnah? So the Rashba gives an answer. Inami, get shani, detiknu l'rabbon, and afilu b'shas rabbim, mishuk takonis agunis. So the Rashba, no, gets different because takonis agunis. Also, now takonis agunis exists. The Manavshav. If the Rashba held that this dark concept for takonis agunis, then how did the Rashba prove in Bam Metzia that it works by Mekach HaMemka? If you're willing to tell me get is different, so then your whole raya falls off. The Rashba was hanging his hand on the fact that there's a loy plug because you see it works by get. What's the raya? So we said, what's the right? Maybe it's Takar Zagunas. We said, nah, the Rashba doesn't hold the Takar Zagunas. Well, apparently he does, because later on when he got to Mesechus Gittin, or backwards, however he wrote it, when you get to Mesechus Gittin, he doesn't suggest Takar Zagunas.
That's what you just said, that it means by Rashba, it's that way you need a Takar Zagunas, but by regular.
Right, but the question is, if the Rashba is open to the idea that there's something special about Get, which is why the rules are changed, So then how can you prove that, get as a raya, that it would work by Mekach HaMemka?
It's a different mechanism.
So you're going to have to say that the Rashba is willing to accept it somewhat. He's not willing to say that this is the reason for it, but once it does exist, to take it to the next level, the Rashba is willing to do. Okay, it's, I don't think it's a kasha. I think it needs to be spoken out.
Well, maybe I get it. It's not working for Kenyan. It's working through that. It's considered like the
Kitzel. Yeah, okay, we'll talk about it. So then, but again, so...
So it's a different mechanism. That's because it works. Kindal's
like,
yeah, it doesn't mean the same thing.
Okay. Yeah, again, I'm not saying it's a grace of kasha. I just think, what I meant to say is that based on this Rashba, that's what I wanted to say in the Rush. If you see that there's such a concept of Takanas Teguna specifically for Shas Rabim, maybe that's what the Rush meant in those last three words. Okay. Now we're ready to get to the real sugi over here. The real sugi is, after all the smoke clears, Dalai Lama's works, fine. But the Gemara says it's a Takana de Rabban. So that means you're doing a Kinya de Rabban to be Poyel Chaloise de Reis. How does that work? Can a kinya de rabbanu be poyel a chalois de reis? Or the way the Achrayim call it, kinya de rabbanu mahani le de reis, oiloi mahani le de reis. If I need a de reis, a conclusion, can I get there through a kinya de rabbanu? This is nageya, obviously, a lot of places. It's nageya in our sugya. If this whole thing is Dalai Lama, so this whole girl is divorced mid de rabbanu. Mid de reis, she's still married. How can she go get married to another man if mid de reis, she's still married? How does this all work?
We always say, you know, whatever the Rabbanan and Misaki.
Okay. So some Rishonim say that. We'll get to that right now. So if you look in the Rishonim, you see there's a little bit of different opinions in the Rishonim. Firstly, if you look at number 13 in the Shidduch Kabetzis in the name of Rabbeinu Peretz, he asks this kashan. He says, "Mikol makim kashan, the betoich arba ames megarasha mitakonas lacham, umidereisa lahevigat adamati lebishusa midereisa dalar ames doesn't exist in the Torah's world. It's only to her hand or to her chatzar. The hechi sharinan Rabbanan eches ishlam." How could the Rabbanan permit a woman who's still married to marry another man? The Yishloimer answers the Shittim Kobesis, the Kivan, the Tikna Rabbanan, Abba Mishalah, hey, midai Raisa. Since Chazal or Mesakin becomes Dei Raisa, the Hefker Bezdin Hefker, so he's saying basically that a Kinyan the Rabbanan functions on a Dei Raisa level through the rule of Hefker Bezdin Hefker, which basically means she now owns the get. Chazal made a trick, and they say, you know, this get, it's yours. Oh, she owns the get, she owns it on a Dei Raisa level. So now the Shittim Kobesis adds three words. V'have kemo Yerusha, and it's like a Yerusha. So what do those three words mean? So if some prince have it, V'have kemo Gerusha. She's like a regular divorced woman. Right, she's a regular. But it means to say she's like a regular Gerusha. That's what it means. But Reb Shmuel Rizovsky has a beautiful shtickle of him. He wants to answer up this shtickle. So for a long time, I always thought Reb Shmuel Rizovsky was a Talmud of Grodno. Reb Shimon's yeshiva, which he was. I used to have a chavusa. Whenever we'd learn Reb Shmuel's, and we'd be mechavin, I'd say, oh, you mechavin to Reb Shmuel. He says, what's the big deal? We lived in the same yeshiva. He lived in Shire Torah in Grodno. I lived in Shire Torah in Queens. We lived in the same yeshiva. So what's the big deal to be mechavin to Reb Shmuel Rizovsky? It is a big deal because Reb Shmuel Rizovsky was a big goyin. But I found later that Reb Shmuel Rizovsky really had another Rebbe. Reb Shmuel Rizovsky, when he was younger, when he came to Grodno, he was tutored by Reb Gusman. He was tutored by Reb Gusman for many years. Reb Gusman, he used to call Reb Gusman his Rebbe. He really wanted Reb Gusman to come to Eretz Yisrael and be a Rosh Hashiva there. He considered Reb Gusman his Rebbe. Reb Gusman was an Eli Otzam. When he was young, he was 17 years old, he tutored two boys. He tutored Reb Shmuel Rizovsky, which he didn't want to. He only had to because Reb Shmuel Rizovsky's father was the dayan in Grodno. His grandfather was the head dayan in Grodno, so there's only so much you can push off. You got to do it. And the other person he tutored was Abuchanan's son. Abuchanan Wasserman, his son of Naftali Wasserman. And he also didn't want to tutor him. So you have to understand, Reb Gusman learned about 19 hours a day. So there was no extra time for tutoring. So he had no time. So he told Reb Chanan, I'm sorry. Can you imagine? He told Reb Chanan, I'm sorry, I can't learn with your son. You know? Okay. He told Reb Chanan, I can't. Reb Chanan said, too bad. You have no choice. I'm not ranking you. He said, I learned by Reb Shimon. You learned by Reb Shimon. We have the same Torah. You have to learn my son. He said, I'm not doing it. I don't have time. So he took it to Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon Paskin. He has to learn with his son. So he got stuck, so to say, learning with Reb Naftali, Reb Chanan's son. He said about this Reb Naftali Wasserman, and he said, if he would have survived the war, he didn't survive the war. He said, if he would have survived the war, he would have been an unbelievable gadol in Klai Yisrael. He didn't survive the war, Reb Naftali. He was a little boy. So he tutored, Reb Gusman tutored these two boys. So he tutored Reb Shmuel Rizovsky for many years. He tutored Reb Shmuel Rizovsky when Reb Shmuel Rizovsky learned in Grodno. So they all learned under Reb Shimon, but he was his tutor. And later on, when Reb Gusman was thinking about moving to Eretz Yisrael, they offered Reb Gusman to take over Panovich. So at that time, there were three Rosh Hashivas in Panovich. There were Reb Shach, Reb David Pavarsky, and Reb Shmuel Zofsky. So Reb Gusman said, where am I going to be? He said, you're going to be on top of all of them. You'll be the top Rosh Hashiva. Reb Shmuel Zofsky had unbelievable amounts of respect because he considered him his Rebbe, because for those young years, he used to tutor him. They were a tutor, a Chavrus Hashav. But in any case, so Reb Shmuel Zofsky comes up with a Gishmak HaPshan on how to learn the Shittim Mekubetzes. Reb Shmuel Zofsky says, what did the Rabbeinu Peretz want with those three words, V'havi Kima Yerush? What did it add to the sugi? So he says, because you have to have a little bit of a background information. He says there's a big machloikis between Reb Kveger and his son about kinyan de rabbanan mahani le derais. Can a kinyan de rabbanan accomplish derais outcomes? So he says, and this is classic achrayin shemayin, already found in the Pnei Yeshua and others, it's really dependent upon a gemara. What's the Gemara? He says, there's a Gemara in Gittin, number 14. He says, there's a Gemara in Gittin, Avlam Evav, which is the source of Hefker, Bez, and Hefker. Where do we learn Hefker, Bez, and Hefker? So he writes, it's learned that from a pasuk that says, D'chol ha-shel yovel yacharam r'chush. Anyone who doesn't come, I'm going to put a cherim on their stuff. A cherim doesn't mean I'm giving your money to someone else. It means I'm taking away yours. When you knas someone, so you penalize them, they lose it, but you don't give it to someone else. You don't give to the poor, you don't take from the poor to give, the rich to give to the poor. You just take it away from them. However, ulam the fimadi afinu shamikra achrina. But there's another pasuk in the Gemara quote for Hefker, Bez, and Hefker. That pasuk is Eila hanachlois ashenachlu ma oves manchin levneim af roshim manchilim. Just like a father is yerush to his son, so to Bezdin, the Roshim have a right to be yerush to others. Im kein says Reb Shmuel yesh keich biad Bezdin gam lahaknis hanachasim lacherim. So you see that not only does Bezdin have the right to take from one person and make it no longer theirs, they can actually give it to another party. So therefore, says Reb Shmuel, that's what the Rashba is trying, that's what the Rabbeinu Peretz means. To have Kima Yerusha, because what's going on over here is Bezdin's taking the get, and not only making it not the husband's anymore, it's taking it from not the husband's and making it hers. To say Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker, that just means the husband doesn't own the get anymore. So how is she divorced? So the get belonged to the husband. So now Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker means the husband doesn't own the get. Great. So he doesn't own it, but she still doesn't own it either. Zok, no, Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker worth Kima Yerusha, that I take from one and give it to the other. So now we took the get from the husband, we gave it to her. Now it's taka hers. So it's mam, she owns the get. If she owns the get, she's Megoreshes. So says Rishon Mozovsky, that was the hisaf of those three words, the Havi Kima Yerusha. Now we're justifying how she owns the get. Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker would just make it, it doesn't belong to him. Very nice. He doesn't own it, but she, neither does she. Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker over here is Kima Yerusha. Now she actually owns the get. That's how Rishon Mozovsky's Masber, the last three words in the Shidduch Mekubetz.
Can you give another?
Like Rashi. Not like Rashi at all, 100%. Rashi's probably not working with Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. We'll have to talk about Rashi, yep.
You know, just like Yerusha could acquire something without a Kenyan.
That's correct also.
So maybe that's the precedent that the Rabbanan used. So
that's what we're going to talk about.
Acquire it without a Kenyan.
Yeah, that's what we need to talk about. We'll just make a Aschal and Blined will be Mamshech this next week. But the Hakira of the day, which the way others set it up is, we'll throw out the Hakira and we'll work backwards in the Rishonim. The non-normal way of doing things. How does Kenyan Dalai Lamas work? We have a concept called Kenyan Dalai Lamas. It works by get, mitzvah. How does this work? So the way the Hakir is presented is it can work one of two ways. It can either work that your Dalai Lamas, for some strange reason, Chazal said, anything your Dalai Lamas miraculously becomes yours. We're maknit to you. Well, that's the other side, I think. The first side is that really you have no rights to this Dalai Lamas. It's not your area. Your area is your backyard and your yard. This is not your yard. It's neither. Yet Chazal, for whatever reason, decided to make a magic trick. And the magic trick based on Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker is that they made the get belong to you. It jumped into your Rishus. It's now yours. Although I never made a Ma'aseh Kinyan on it. It's not in my Rishus. Magically it becomes mine. That's one way of understanding. The other way is more of a conventional way. Is that the Chazal extended Kinyan Chatzim. They said, although Kinyan Chatzim is limited to your backyard and to your hand and to your back, here we're saying even your Dalai Lamas is an extension of you and therefore it's considered your Chatzim. That's the two ways of understanding it. It will play a major role when it comes to Gerushin. Because when it comes to Gerushin, it might not be enough just to say the Isha owns the get. What's the answer of the Shidduch Kabbalah? The Isha owns the get. The Isha, is it about owning a get or it's about Nesina L'Rishusa? Is get sufficient just to say she owned the get without a Nesina to her possession? Or she needs a Nesina L'Rishusa? So if the way Dalai Lamas works, that Dalai Lamas now becomes her chatzer, so when I put the get in the Dalai Lamas, so I made her Nesina L'Rishusa, everything is good.
And she owns it. She managed to get both.
That's right. She might not even know. Which is also a shayla, depending on how Dalai Lamas works. If it works like Chatzar, it should be bound by the rules of Chatzar. Chatzar has rules. You have to know about it. You have to be there. You have to be Mishtameris. But if it's working with a magical chap that it becomes... Right, usually, unless your back is turned, maybe, I don't know, I'm not sure.
Actually, she has both, though. She has only Shia.
No, Pasha, if you assume like this, Chakir is one or the other.
One of Chatzar is mine.
That's in a real Chatzar. This was a, right. So if you hold it to Chatzar, so then it would be in a Sin Lubashus and everything would be perfect.
And she'd own it as well.
And she would own it as well. We'll see Bli Neder next week, how this is probably a Machloikis Rishonim, how to understand how it works in Agamara. And then after that, I think we can then go back to try to figure out Rashi. And then we'll go home to Mahalach and Rishonim, that although Kinyan Dalai Lamas is a Kinyan Rabbanon, no doubt, it works midirais, not because of Rabbanon. Because by get, it works midirais, which is an unbelievable mahalach in Rishonim, which we'll have to see for next week.
Two very quick announcements. Tuesday night, Rabbi giving a share of 8:40 on, is there really a mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael today? And also, as he announced earlier,